Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at the problems facing Boeing after failures of its Starliner spacecraft have left two astronauts stranded in space. They were supposed to be on the International Space Station for 8 days, but will now be there for at least 8 months. This is the latest in a long line of crises facing the company. So is this one failure too far for Boeing? Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Maria Margaronis, on assignment in Cyprus to find out what's next for the old resort town of Varosha, fenced off for 50 years and recently opened to tourists.
Right, as we go down the road, if you look to the left, you'll see the deep water harbour of Famagusta. Internationally, it's not recognised. The only flags you'll see float.
I'm on the open top of a red double-decker bus with a bunch of British holidaymakers sweltering in the sun.
And now, to the right, you'll start seeing the first indication of Varosha. There's a hotel with its lift shaft exposed.
We're on our way to the crumbling resort town of Varosha, a suburb of Famagusta on the northeast coast of Cyprus, abandoned by its Greek Cypriot inhabitants 50 years ago when Turkey invaded the island. Since then, Cyprus has been split in two. The south is the Greek Cypriot Republic. The north is a Turkish Cypriot statelet, recognised only by Turkey.
Now, they will search your bags, so if you have any drones or flags or anything like that, please leave them on board the bus.
Varosha was fenced off and held by the Turkish military for nearly half a century to use as a bargaining chip. But 4 years ago, Turkey's President Erdogan arrived and declared part of it open. It's now become a magnet for dark tourism.
Recording kit. Notebook.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Maria Margaronis. I was last here 10 years ago, peering through the barbed wire fence, as curious as the tourists about what was inside. I've come back for assignment to see Varosha with some of the people who used to live here, and to find out what its opening might mean. First stop, the place that made this an A-list destination in the 1960s, and still makes it a prize now.
So I'm looking down the long, long beach of Varosha. There are people swimming, people on lounge chairs on the sand. And it looks like any other Mediterranean holiday beach, except that it's backed by the gaping hollow windows of derelict hotels.
Away from the beach, the buildings are untouched, empty-eyed and eerie, like a stage set for a ghost town, which is how the place is often marketed to tourists.
New Smoky Joe's restaurant. Rather old Smoky Joe's by now. And inside, what's that? Look, it's still, you can still see a huge open empty fridge and something like an oven. It's a window or a door banging.
I am not a ghost, and my town is not a ghost city.
Avgi Frangopoulou spent her childhood in Varosha, part of the suburb's thriving Greek Cypriot middle class.
I know the people who lived here, I know the people who live there. You cannot be going around and selling the product as a ghost city. And it hurts me of how it's becoming. I don't like to see these accounts.
In March 1974, Avgi's parents bought two flats on the Varosha beachfront. 4 months later, with the new flats barely furnished, everything fell apart.
I saw all the bombings. I remember myself running because you see the airplanes on top of you.
So did you know the invasion was coming?
It was everywhere in the news. So we were waiting. You're waiting for it, but you don't think it's going to happen, you know? And then you wake up with these bombings.
That July, Greek Cypriots backed by a military dictatorship in Athens had staged a coup to unite Cyprus with Greece. Turkish troops invaded, ostensibly to protect the Turkish Cypriot minority. A month later, they took a third of the whole island. The people and the tourists of Varosha fled, leaving the buildings empty.
So you were 15, you must have been terrified.
Yes, still have nightmares.
Avi's been back so many times since Varosha opened that she's got to know some of the guys who drive tourists around in golf buggies.
We go to Demokratias.
Okay?
No, we go this way this time.
She shows us the ochre stone arcade of the old open-air cinema, now heaped with rubble, the neoclassical cultural centre where she had music lessons, the rusting awning frame of the Edelweiss Café. She remembers what was sold in every shop along the road where she once lived.
My home is here. If you want to stop and we talk here...
Yes, that would be great.
Here. Stop for a little bit and we'll
in the shade.
The entrance to the building, when is that entrance there?
The side gate.
So you see how provocative for me it is.
Yeah, I can see, Abby, yes. Why you're so tempted, because you don't even have to climb over. You could just go in.
You just want to go through that gate. Go through there and go up the stairs. But there's police there and they stop you, so you don't risk it.
Even after 5 decades, Abby is fiercely loyal to her hometown.
I'm not boasting now, but it's the truth. It was the most progressive town of Cyprus at the time. For example, we used to wear bikinis. You wouldn't go in the villages in Cyprus and see bikinis. Right. You wouldn't go in other towns. Why? Because the people were always by the sea, swimming with the Swedes, mostly Swedes and British. I mean, we had discotheques at the time. I didn't. My grandfather was strict. And I was only 15. But yes, people were in discotheques. Plus, I see that Famagustans are more open-minded in many issues.
Because it was an international town?
Maybe.
Because of the tourists? Yes.
On Avi's Varosha tour, I begin to get the magic of this place, as it must once have been, especially for the young.
Parfumerie Elise, Café Escurial. This is Europe. I wonder what they sold at the Pooh Corner house. This is the modernist Le Corbusier-style concrete church with a half dome. It's like we are modern here. None of this retro stuff. This is the future.
Or was. Anyone who lived here is now over 50, and they all have a war story to tell. Nostalgia for the place inevitably merges with nostalgia for a youth or childhood interrupted.
My name is Andreas Lordos. I'm a Greek-speaking Cypriot. I was raised in the place where we stand in right now. At the age of 6, I had to leave the innocent life and the birthday parties, the buzz of a happy city was exchanged with fear and fighting.
Andreas has left much more than his early memories here. His grandfather bought land and put up apartment buildings in Varosha in the 1950s. His father built some of the first hotels. In its tourist heyday, some people refer to Famagusta as Lordogusta.
We're standing in front of the Golden Mariana. It's a 100-room hotel. It was built in 1967 by my 27-year-old father. It's a hotel with a pool, which was a new thing at the time. It's across our main high school. So during break time, the guys predominantly would try and get a peek and see what's happening and see the tourists.
The tourist girls, I suspect, specifically.
The hotel's modernist marble balconies still look solid enough, but the Copacabana Cafe on the ground floor is choked and overgrown with orange trumpet vines.
You can see the name on the roof. It says Golden Mariana.
And Mariana was your mother?
Mariana was my mother, whom we've lost when I was 20. So what I would like to do is I would like to see this hotel restored in the memory of my late mother. And it's a place where, let's say, our future can start from.
Andreas wants to reclaim his family's property and rebuild Varosha. He imagines it as a stepping stone for reuniting the island. And there are some Turkish Cypriots who think that way too.
So it's a bit hot inside, but I just wanted to make you see.
What a beautiful building.
Yeah, this is our temple.
What is
Famagusta Old City Association. So,
Serdar Atay's temple is a restored Venetian chapel in Famagusta's medieval walled city, a stone's throw from Varosha.
So we produce these brochures in 7 different languages.
Famagusta has belonged to the Byzantines, the Franks, the Genoese, the Venetians, the Ottomans, and the British. Cyprus, strategically nestled in the eastern Mediterranean, has been coveted for centuries. Each of those conquerors left monuments behind. Preserving them is Serdar's passion. For the last 30 years, he's also been working with Greek Cypriots in peace-building campaigns.
And we became like families with some of them, because we think in the same way, we behave in the same way. We feel that we are the biggest losers of this conflict, because we see that in the absence of Varosha, our authorities, actually, they prefer to make new investments in Kyrenia, in Vokolida, in Trigomo, but not in Famagusta. That's why we just lagged behind.
These Famagustan families from both communities drew up plans for reviving their city as a catalyst for healing the island.
But at the end of the day, both sides, they torpedoed the peace process all of the time. They agreed to disagree from the beginning. If one side yes, the other side would be saying no.
Because it's in their interest to keep things as they are?
Well, our authorities are under the influence of Turkey, because Turkey is giving the money, interfering with the domestic politics and daily life. In Greek Cypriots' case, they hijacked the Republic of Cyprus, and they are benefiting from it to the largest extent, and they don't want to share. Yeah. That's it.
It was the Greek Cypriot struggle for union with Greece in the 1950s that first sparked violence between the two communities. For almost two decades, Famagusta's Turkish Cypriots were confined to the walled city, hemmed in by Greek checkpoints. When the war broke out in 1974, six-year-old Serdar found himself sheltering from Greek Cypriot mortar fire with his mother and sisters in Famagusta's 16th-century Venetian bastion. His father, a volunteer fighter, was down there too.
We stayed in the bastions almost a month.
So just to describe, we're walking, you can hear the sound under through a tunnel of massive blocks of stone.
So imagine that I was just sitting in that small arch, and then a mortar bomb comes here, the bomb blasts, and I saw the man sitting next to my father falling down in a blood lake around him. Another two men there, they had sharpnels and they just fell down dead again. People are running away, screaming, and I was just standing there like frozen.
What a thing when you're a child to live through this.
Well, it was traumatic, but I mean, it was a war period. Same things were experienced by Greek Cypriots as well.
One of those Greek Cypriots is here with us in the bastion.
Andrea, have you been here before?
I have, as soon as it opens.
Andreas Lordos of the Golden Mariana is working with Serdar to restore Famagusta's medieval walls.
So had you heard Serdar's story before?
I didn't have the opportunity. There is always so much to say when we get together. And I can imagine the terror.
You were both terrified little boys.
Yeah, war child, yeah.
War child.
Yeah.
These two war childs are collaborating to repair the fabric of their city. They're part of what Andreas calls the usual suspects and Serdar calls the bubble, well-meaning, in some ways privileged people working for peace from both communities. Not everyone feels as they do. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at the problems facing Boeing after failures of its Starliner spacecraft have left two astronauts stranded in space. They were supposed to be on the International Space Station for 8 days, but will now be there for at least 8 months. This is the latest in a long line of crises facing the company. So is this one failure too far for Boeing? Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Assignment. I'm Maria Margaronis.
Have you been here before to Varosha?
No, it is first time after they open.
Seryan is sheltering from the heat near the recharging center for those Varosha golf buggies. She was born in Aydın, a Turkish Cypriot village in the south of the island.
Can I ask you, what do you think should happen here?
I think they should open and use it.
And you don't think anything should be returned to the Greek Cypriots who owned it?
No. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. it's difficult for me. But I think it the people are happy now here because we are feeling free. We were very afraid before 74. Yes. And I feel more secure when the Turkish soldiers are here.
Serian's father was a Turkish Cypriot policeman, which made him a particular target.
My father was killed in 1964, where my mother has 8 children alone.
He was killed by the Greeks?
Yes.
Everyone of a certain age here has their pain, often hiding under the surface of a happy life. We've come about an hour's drive west of Varosha to visit a family I first met 10 years ago when I was here for the 40th anniversary of the war. Zafiro Dimitriou lived a short bus ride from the centre of Varosha. In 1974, she fled in shorts and flip-flops with her 2 infant daughters. For years after the war, she longed to go back home.
At first I wanted to go back all the time, and they kept saying to us, you know, keep your suitcases ready, you're going to go back, you're going to go back. And after a time, the frustration and the disappointment were so great that I said, enough, we're not going back.
She did go back to visit 30 years after she'd left, when people were first allowed to cross to the other side. Seeing her old house occupied by a Turkish Cypriot gave her a kind of closure and helped her settle in her new life. But Zafiro is still angry with the Turks and Turkish Cypriots. She doesn't always make a distinction between the two.
They came suddenly one night and started killing people, and they found us unprepared and without any help from anyone. I am very angry. I'm very angry still, and that's why I don't want to go. I don't want to see them. Με ποιους?
Με τους Τούρκους.
Κυρία Ζαφίρο, να σας ρωτήσω και εσάς. It was 10 years since I was last here, and there was a kind of hope in the air then.
Μια μικρή ελπίδα.
A small hope.
Τώρα δεν υπάρχει καμιά ελπίδα για μένα.
Now for me there's no hope.
Zafiro's daughter Nicoletta had quite a lot of hope back in 2014. She was an active member of that peace-building bubble.
I think that there was a sense back then that a solution could still be found, an agreement could still be reached. I remember that in 2017, while the talks were happening, there were tears of joy because we were told at the time that this was it, this was the end of the Cyprus problem.
In 2017, the political forces on both sides of the island seemed perfectly aligned to negotiate a solution.
So we had this huge march of peace, and we were hugging each other and kissing and, you know, thinking, yes, this is it, and the future is going to be different for all of us. And then the next day we found out that the talks collapsed.
Nicoletta went to a primary school full of refugee children. Her education wasn't designed to create trust.
There were 2 types of exercise books. One had pictures of τα σκλαβωμένα μας μέρη,
our enslaved
places. And they would show, you know, pictures from Famagusta, you know, the orange groves or the sea, whatever, with a big letter saying, Δεν ξεχνώ, I don't forget. And then the maps that we had in class showed Cyprus divided into 2, and very often, in place of the green line, you had blood dripping down to the south.
Why? Was this a deliberately politically cultivated thing?
That Δεν ξεχνώ became a raison d'être to an extent, at least for the education system. And I think it still permeates the education system decades later.
Decades later?
Yeah. And I think that we can, if we want to, we can keep the slogan Δεν ξεχνώ, but I think that we should add something to it. We should say Δεν ξεχνώ, comma, συγχωρώ. I don't forget, comma, I forgive.
The Greek word συγχωρώ, I forgive, literally means I make space for the other person to exist with me. Varosha is perhaps the last place on the island where Greek and Turkish Cypriots could make space together. As long as it was closed, it was a space for dreams, like a bicommunal project to bring it back to life as a model eco-city. Now that it's been opened, though, time is running out.
Kalimera. Greek Cypriot Facebook.
We're in Nicosia, Europe's last divided city, and we're about to walk over from the Republic of Cyprus, the Greek Cypriot Republic of Cyprus, to the Turkish Cypriot-controlled northern part to meet a member of the Turkish Cypriot administration, Mr. Hasipoglu.
Merhaba.
And that was the Turkish Cypriot passport control. And now we're on the other side.
Merhaba, Mr. Hasipoglu.
My name is Oğuzhan Hasipoglu. I born in 1974, at the same date with the peace operation of Turkey. My house was very close to the fenced area of Varosha.
Mr. Hasipoglu is a member of the Turkish Cypriot Parliament for the National Unity Party and heads the committee on Varosha.
Why did you begin to open Varosha?
There was no point keeping it closed. There was no gain for both sides. Honestly, we lost confidence to Greek Cypriots. They always allege that we are all Cypriots, this island is too small to be divided, nice words. But when it comes to reality, they are not ready to share the governance of this island with us, and they are not ready to share the wealth around the island with us. They see us as a minority.
The Greek Cypriot government still says it wants to reunify the island as some kind of federation. But all negotiations and proposals have failed, crucially and fatefully the UN's Annan plan, which would also have returned Varosha to its Greek Cypriot owners. In a 2004 referendum on the plan, the Turkish Cypriots voted yes. The Greek Cypriots said no. The Greek Cypriot Republic became an EU member, while the Turkish Cypriot North remains an unrecognized state.
No direct flights, no direct trades. This is a big unfair to my people. So we have decided to continue with our state, whether we are recognized or not by international community.
Are you saying that the chances for a federation are now over? We want two states.
This depends on Greek Cypriots. They rejected all the previous plans. They should wake up and see the realities now.
So
the realities are two states. They have to see this. And if this is going to hurt them, they have to be hurted.
But the UN would not agree with you because Resolution 550 says that it must be inhabited by its original people. And the UN has also asked that it be put under UN administration.
Well, as Greek Cypriot side is not reaching an agreement with us, what do you prefer? To maintain the status quo and keep the area for rats and snakes? Can UN invest and make the utilities there? Some says that we are infringing the international law.
Of the UN?
No, we are not. We are not going to touch any properties of Greek Cypriots or foreign investors. We are making the area ready for living.
So, if you can imagine Varosha in 10 years, 20 years, what do you see?
Before 1974, it was one of the best tourist places of Middle East. We want to achieve this title again. We would like to see this area like a Saint-Tropez, Monte Carlo, as diamond of Middle East for the benefit of whole Cypriots, Greek Cypriots, Turkish Cypriots, foreign investors live together.
Mr. Hasipoglu says Greek Cypriots are invited to come and see their properties in Varosha and submit claims for compensation or for their return. But he's not going to wait around.
Once hotels start to operate there, we don't want to see a derelict building next to it. So for those who are not around Cyprus or we cannot reach to them, we are going to expropriate it and make compensation, but we have to make use of these buildings.
In other words, regardless of the UN resolutions, if Greek Cypriots don't claim their properties soon, they'll lose them permanently. But making those claims is easier said than done.
Let's go and sit in the shade.
Yeah.
Can we go sit under that lovely tree?
We're back in Varosha with Andreas Lordos in the relative cool of the municipal garden. He's not convinced that Varosha's opening will benefit its former residents.
We have all heard President Erdogan, I think in 2020, saying that we need to find these people. And it's like, here we are. And why is it taking you so long? And why is there no service desk at the entrance for displaced people to come on over and say, I'm here, I would like to be facilitated into visiting my home?
This little park was restored for President Erdogan's visit to declare Varosha open. Flower beds planted, trees pruned, fountains spruced up and cleaned.
So they took over the streets. They proceeded to take over public parks like the one that we're sitting on. So this is a process that will end up with the takeover of the public buildings, like the one right next to us, which is one of our schools.
The elegant Ionian columns of the Varosha Boys Secondary School are now covered by two huge flags, the red flag of Turkey with its white crescent moon and star, and the white flag of the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, with the moon and star in red.
And then it will boil down to the properties, the individual properties.
Greek Cypriots are entitled to claim their properties in the north through the Turkish Cypriot Immovable Property Commission. But it's incredibly difficult to do so. Many people would say the commission is aptly named.
So all of the unclaimed parts will end up being confiscated, and then, well, you know, we have a city plan and let's demolish it all. It's about power and money and greed.
And here, both sides are implicated.
Famagusta businessmen went to other places, including Ayanaba and Prodaras, which are like 20 kilometers from here, with white sandy beaches. They've recreated their lives, and they're saying that Varosha shouldn't open because it will compete with them.
Sorry. If you had to place a bet, Andrea, will it become the casino city that is being planned, or will people come home and rebuild?
I think it's going to be both. My bet is that the legal troubles associated with trying to take over Varosha and going against the international community are a hefty thing. I think that a number of Varosha people will sell out. And Turkey also knows that there are business families that are ready to work together with Turkish business interests. So I see this as the most possible scenario.
Dreamtime is nearly over for Varosha. The place always was a commercial proposition, as well as a home and seaside paradise. In the end, it's money that will probably call the tune. The nostalgic beauty of this golden town, arrested in its 1960s glory, will sooner or later disappear like writing in the sand, as will the memories and grief of those who lived here. And the elusive solution to the Cyprus problem still shimmers in the distance, a castle in the air. This edition of Assignment was presented by me, Maria Margaronis, and produced by Simon Tulett. The editor was Penny Murphy, and the sound designer was Gareth Jones.
911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent, it was controlling, it was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.